We are in week 10 of the Believe series, and the first 10 weeks of Believe focused on key core beliefs of the Christian faith. And so the next 10 weeks will be on practices of the Christian faith. And so we're going to wrap up today, Believe week 10, looking at eternity. But I wanted to sort of give you an overview of where we have come, sort of a review of where we have come. The first five beliefs taught us how to love God. Week one, we looked at God, and the key idea was, I believe the God of the Bible is the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And 2 Corinthians 13 was a key verse for that week. That second week, we talked about the idea that God is a personal God, that He's involved in our lives, that He cares for us. And our key verse was Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So the first week was on God. The God of the Bible is the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then the personal God that is involved in the cares of our lives. And then week three was on salvation. We believe that a person comes into a right relationship with God by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, a key verse for, key verses for that week. Week 4, we talked about the Bible. The message was entitled, God Wrote a Book. We talked about how the Bible is the Word of God, has a right to command our belief and actions. And 2 Timothy 3 was the key verse, verse 16 for that one. Week 5 was about our identity in Christ, that I am significant because of my relationship, my position as a child of God. And the key verse there for John 1, verse 12. So the first five beliefs looked at our vertical relationship, our relationship with God. And the next five looked at our relationship with others. And that started with week 6 and the idea of the church, as the church being God's primary way to accomplish His purposes. And then week 7, we talked about humanity, and about how we all need Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we are all sinners, and that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16, our key verse. We built on that Sunday in week 8 with our idea of compassion, that compassion is a key belief for who we are as Christians. We're to show compassion to people in need. And Psalm 82, 3 and 4 was the key verse. Last week, we looked at stewardship, the idea that we believe everything I am and everything that I own belongs to God, that we're called to be managers or stewards of what God has given to us. And Psalm 24, 1 and 2 was a key verse for that. So that's sort of where the first 9 weeks went, and now we're on week 10, and we are looking at eternity. We're looking at eternity. And the key idea for eternity is I believe there is a heaven and a hell, and that Jesus will return to judge all people and to establish His eternal kingdom. John 14, verses 1 and 2 are the key verses. We're actually going to be reading John 14, 1 through 6 here in just a moment. And some things that we have learned along the way in these first 9, 10 weeks now is simply this, that we're not to debate theology, but we're to live truth. That we're not to defend God, but to express faith in the way we live. We're not to win an argument, we're to save a soul. And we're not to be frustrated with our failures, but to be freed from our frustrations. And so I hope that you have been blessed so far in this Believe series. And again, week 10 today, and next week we'll be transitioning into the practices part of the Believe series. As many of you know, I grew up at the Providence Church, and the first pastor I remember there was a gentleman by the name of Robert Detweiler. He was an old-school fire and brimstone preacher who seemingly tried to scare you into believing in Jesus Christ. In fact, he talked a whole lot more about hell than he ever did about heaven. And I was so young then that, well, I was one that he didn't scare me into trusting Christ as Savior and Lord. But he was followed not too long after, about a couple years after I got to know him, by a mild-mannered pastor named Ron Endress. And Ron preached about the love of God. and the forgiveness that God gives and the grace of God. And it was under his pastoral leadership that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. So as we conclude our 10 beliefs part of the belief series today, we're going to focus on eternity. And you can't talk about eternity without talking about heaven and hell. So again, our key idea, I believe there is a heaven and a hell, and that Jesus will return to judge all people and to establish his eternal kingdom. Now that's a statement that may be a little hard for some of us to swallow. It's difficult for me. I don't think any of us have a problem with heaven. We delight in heaven. We anticipate the joy of heaven. We long for heaven. But it's two other words in that statement that cause us to swallow hard. And that's hell and judge. Furthermore, who would choose hell over heaven? That doesn't make sense, does it? Who would choose hell over heaven? Who would choose fire and brimstone and pitchforks over pearls and gold and halos? And why would a good, loving God put anyone in hell for eternity? It's perhaps one of the top questions that believers as well as non-believers have about the Christian faith. The notions of judgment and hell don't seem to jive with everything we're talking about today in terms of heaven and the wonder and the glory and the splendor of it. So what does the Bible really tell us about the afterlife, about heaven, hell, and eternity? Well, it's a pretty big topic, and unfortunately, we don't have an eternity to unpack it, so we're going to be very brief today. But back at the beginning of the Scriptures, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning, God created," what? "The heavens and the earth." The very first verse of Scripture. God created the heavens and the earth. What did God create? Heaven and earth. They were created together by God, and they were both good. In fact, there are about 200 verses in the Bible that pair heaven and earth together. But heaven and earth were torn apart by sin. Because God blessed his crowning achievement, which is humanity, with the privilege of free will, they are free to trust him or not. And sin is essentially trusting our own view, our own thinking, our own way of life. Sin was not a part of God's creation. It is an evil intruder that gained entry into God's creation through human invitation. What's interesting is that this had such a disastrous effect upon creation that by the sixth chapter of Genesis, God's ready to wipe the slate clean. Start all over. That's how fast sin had permeated every aspect of society. The vast majority of God's creation had become fornicators, drunkards, murderers, liars, idolaters in just a few short centuries. No one was doing good, it says, not even one. Well, these behaviors have no place in God's kingdom, but they have a place in us. And I believe hell gains an entrance into the world through us. The problem is we don't see it. I think we'd all like to get rid of sex trafficking, genocide, and world hunger. We see those things as something that other people do. But those things exist because of lust and anger and greed. And those things are in us. So any discussion about heaven and hell has to realize that we're not talking about something something distant. Rather, we're talking about something very close and very personal. And so our first point today is simply this. Heaven and hell are very real places. Heaven and hell are very real places. Matthew 25, verse 46. After Jesus he's concluding the parable of the sheep and the goats, he says, "Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." It is the only time the idea of heaven and hell are in the same verse in Scripture. Both are real places. Jesus talks about both heaven and hell, more so about hell. And he seemed adamant that heaven and hell are real places. Hell is something we don't want. We choose it every day, though, when we choose to do what we want, rather than asking God what he would want us to do. We choose it every day when we allow lust to take hold of us. Hell does not belong with heaven, even though we often say heaven and hell as if they are counterparts. But God created heaven, and we created hell. That's the story of the Bible. Our primary text this morning comes from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. I want you to hear the Word of God as Jesus talks about heaven a little bit. John chapter 14, beginning with the first verse, hear now the Word of God. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is preparing to depart from the disciples, and they have gathered in the upper room. They are having their last meal together, and Jesus is talking about going away and preparing a place for them. A room or a mansion, as one translation has it, eternal in the heavens, far beyond our understanding. It's a powerful promise that Jesus makes. I am going away, but I'm going away with a purpose, and that is to prepare a place for you. And then I will come back and take you to be where I am. Jesus is affirming the reality of heaven, and throughout the Gospels, he consistently taught that eternity waits for us all. Either an eternal heaven or an eternal hell. And so there's a second point that we must remember here today, and that is this. That judgment and eternity await all people. Judgment and eternity await all people. Hebrews 9:27 is a most important verse in Scripture, but it's often overlooked. And it says this. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that face judgment. We will be judged upon our death. When we die and come before God Almighty, there are two very profound questions that the Father is going to ask of us. What did you do with my Son, Jesus Christ? Did you believe in Him? Did you trust Him? Did you accept Him as your Savior and Lord? And if we get that question right, He's going to ask a second question. What did you do with all that I gave you? All the gifts that I gave you? All the abilities, the talents, the opportunities. What did you do with all that I gave you? We talked last week about stewardship. That's why stewardship's so important. Because someday we're going to be accountable for what we did with what God had blessed us with. What's interesting about this verse in Hebrews 9:27 is that judgment and eternity await every human soul, and no one will escape it. No one's going to escape it. We are destined to die once, the Scripture says. In other words, there's no reincarnation. There's no do-overs. There's no second chances. The time to confess Christ is now. And if you think about it, there's only one thing we cannot do in heaven that we can do now, and that is win people to Jesus Christ. Now is the time to share our story. Now is the time to reach the lost. Now is the time to evangelize and tell anyone we can, everyone we can, about Jesus. Why? Because of the sobering fact of Hebrews 9:27, that there is an eternity that awaits, there is a judgment that awaits every human soul. We are destined to die once, the Scripture says, and then the judgment. Heaven and hell are real. They are eternal destinies for our soul, but only through Jesus Christ do we spend eternity in heaven. And that leads to our third point today, and that is Jesus makes a way for all to enjoy eternity with Him. Jesus makes a way for all to enjoy eternity with Him. And when questioned by Thomas as to where he was going, Jesus responded, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is clearly telling us, you want eternity in heaven? You want eternity with me? It only comes through believing in me, surrendering your life to me, making me Lord and Savior of your life. Jesus makes the only way for all to enjoy eternity with Him. So what difference does all this make for us? How are we to live with eternity in mind? How are we to live knowing that every human soul is going to face judgment? It's going to face an eternity, either in heaven or in hell. What we believe about the afterlife influences how we live this life. So let's do some reverse engineering here. If I believe in heaven and hell and the afterlife, how should I live this life? Well, number one, we need to live with hope. We need to live with hope. Revelation 21:4 says, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. No matter what happens to me in this life, no matter what befalls me in this life, I can live with hope because there's a heaven. And in heaven, the lost will be found. Darkness will be overcome by light. Good will prevail over evil. Sadness will be turned to joy. Pain will be transformed into pleasure. Because of Jesus, we have hope. Hope that invades this life from the afterlife and changes our perspective, our lives, and our world. Number two, we can love with abandon. We can love with abandon. Three things will last forever, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. In the end, it's not going to matter what kind of car you drove, who you voted for, whether you preferred organs or guitars, or where you stood on this issue or that issue. All those things will fade away, and only one thing's going to matter: love. In the end, we're called to do the same thing that Christ did, and that is to love others, so that they too will someday be in that place with Jesus in heaven. Number three is we can lead people to Jesus. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me in John 14:6. He is the only way to get to heaven. I don't think we do a good job of scaring people into heaven. I don't think that works well in our day and age. Maybe 50 years ago, it worked a little better, but not today. We don't need to argue with people. We don't need to scare people. We don't need to wrestle them or push them into heaven. We just need to lead them. And that is perhaps why how you live this life matters so much for the afterlife. Because everybody's watching you lead your life. And if they see you leading your life as a follower of Jesus Christ and leaving it with tremendous love and grace and compassion, you know what? They will notice that. They will respond to that. They'll want to know what is leading and guiding your life. I believe there's a heaven and a hell, and that Jesus will return to judge all people and establish His eternal kingdom. The central belief about our future eternity is that we're going to die. Our bodies are going to return to the earth, but our spirits will live. And that spirit goes to one of two places, either heaven or hell. And even though I'm a pastor, I honestly don't like that part about hell. I never have. My job would be a whole lot easier if it were not a part of the gospel message. But we have to accept the Bible as a whole, and it clearly teaches that there is a heaven and there is a hell. But through Jesus, we need not worry about hell and simply anticipate the wonder and the splendor of heaven. Let me close with this. When we die and go into eternity, this moment is not an end, as many tend to believe. Rather, it's a beginning. Jesus is going to return to the earth, and His first order of business will be to judge humanity. And when Jesus returns, He'll make all things right, and everything will come under His authority and His justice. He'll throw Satan and his followers along with sin and death into the lake of fire, and Christ's followers will then receive a resurrected body. Think about that. You and I are going to have resurrected bodies, just as Christ did. Jesus and His people will then reside on a new earth surrounded by a new heaven, and for a Christian, this is our future. When we say the best is yet to come, we can confidently mean that. On this great day, God Himself will live among us in the New Jerusalem, and we will be followers of Jesus. There will be followers of Jesus from every part of the world. Listen to how Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 13 describes it. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and glory and honor and power forever and ever." Wow. What we believe matters. And what we believe about eternity matters. So friends, let us believe in eternity because Jesus did. But let's believe even more so that only those who trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord will spend eternity with Jesus. He clearly said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let's give Jesus' brother Jude the last word as we wait for Jesus to return. Jude said these words at the end of his letter. "You, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. To the praise of his glory, amen. So be it, amen." Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that Jesus is preparing a place for all who call upon the name of the Lord. Eternal in the heavens, far beyond our understanding, our own imagination. Father, we recognize that there is an eternity that awaits every human soul. But it is only through faith in Jesus Christ that our soul will be with Jesus in an eternal heaven. So, Father, what we believe matters. What we believe about eternity matters. And might we be reminded this day that every human soul will be judged, and every human soul will face an eternity. And ideally, hopefully, Lord, is an eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven above. Thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for the promise. And help us to live out each day with eternity upon our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.